Shalom to all. On today's Afri Mishnah, we're going to learn Maseches B'chayyurot, Perek Alef Mishnah Beis, all the way through Perek Beis Mishnah Hey. And we can discuss in Petach Hamar. The Mishnah says, Par Shayalda Kemin Chamar, a para that gave birth to a form, some sort of animal that looked like a chamar. That'd be pretty hard to actually be a chamar because it's coming from a para, but it looks like a chamar. Or a chamar Shayalda Kemin Sus, a chamar that gave birth to something that looks like a horse. Patr Benah B'chayyurot, as Patr from B'chayyurot, even though this is the first animal that it was born to it. Shneimar Kaz Pasuk says, Petach Hamar Shnei Pamim, says it twice. Once in Parshas Bai, the other in Parshas Kisisa, and this tells us, Ache hayoled chamar vehanoiled chamar. Both the one giving birth, meaning the mother, has to be a donkey, and the one that was given birth to, the baby, also has to be a donkey. It can't be that one of them is donkey and the other one looks like a donkey. Now we can think of something similar, umahim ba'achila, what about them regarding eating? Let's say a cow gives birth to something that looks like a chamar, or a chamar gives birth to something that looks like a cow. So Mishnah says, behematar shialda kamin behematmea, a kosher animal that gave birth to something that looks like a non-kosher animal. Motar b'achila, it's allowed to be eaten, and ubehema tmeya, shialda kamin behema tahira, a non-kosher animal that gave birth to something that looks like a kosher animal. Asur b'achila, it's not allowed to be eaten. Why is that? Shayyatzim atame tame v'yatzim atar atar, that which comes from something not kosher is not kosher, and something that comes from something that is kosher, even though it might look like something else. However, dog tame shabala dog tahar, a non-kosher fish that had swallowed a kosher fish. You're going fishing, and you catch yourself a shark, and you open it up, and you find the tuna fish inside. Mutter b'achila, it's mutter to eat. That's because it didn't give birth to it. It swallowed it whole for lunch, and you managed to catch a shark before the tuna fish that it ate for lunch was digested. And the opposite is true as well. Vatar shabalik dog tameh, a kosher fish that swallowed a non-kosher one. You had a giant yellowfin tuna that swallowed a small fish. Asr b'achila, it's asr to eat. Lefisha ina gidulav, because it didn't come from it. Just like in the shark case, it ate it for lunch, and you happen to have found it inside a hole, undigested, and so it's not kosher. Moving on to Mishnah Gimel, we have some cases. We have a donkey that never gave birth. That's what Shaloi Bechra means. It hadn't yet given birth. And then, V'yalda Shnei Zecharim, it gave birth to two males. Mazel Tov, gave birth to twins. So one of them, for sure, is a Bechar, and one of them is not. We just don't know which one is which. That doesn't really make a difference. Noisen Tala Echa L'Kayin, one sheep is given to the Kayin as a redemption for the Bechar. We don't actually have to know which one is a Bechar, as long as you know that one of them is. So one Tala, one sheep is given to the Kayin, and everything's fine. Now, let's say this donkey gave birth to Zachar and Nekeva, a male and a female. And we're not so sure which one was born first. So Mafrish Tala Echad La'atzmai, he separates a Tala for himself. He has to do this misafik out of doubt. Maybe the male was born first, so he has to be paided, he has to redeem it with the sheep. However, since there's just as an equal chance that the female was born first, and that means that there is no Petar Chamar here, the Kain does not deserve a sheep, and therefore he gets to keep it for himself. And this goes along with the principle that we had at the end of the previous Masechta, which is called Hamaitzi Mechaveri Olva Raya, when one person tries to take from another, that one who's trying to take, he has to bring the raya. So in this case, the kain would have to bring the proof that the male was born first if he wants to actually receive that sheep. Now, what about the following? The fellow has two donkeys that neither of them had given birth yet, and they were both pregnant. And then he walks into the barn, and v'yaldu shnei zecharim, he founds that two males were given birth to. He doesn't know which one was birthed by which mother, but still both of them for sure are firstborns. So nice and shnei talaim l'kain, he has to give two sheep to the kain as a pidyon for both of them. But let's say Zachor Nekeva. These two mother donkeys gave birth, one of them to a male, one of them to a female. Ay, Shnei Zachor Munekeva. Or there was three animals born here, two males and a female. So in both these situations, Nais and Tala'ech HaLakayin, he just gives one sheep to the Kayin. That's because there's only one male over here, which is for sure a Petar Chamar. In the first case, it's obvious, there's just a Zachor Nekeva. And in the second case as well, there's two Zachor Munekeva. That doesn't mean that there's two Petar Chamars, because one of them for sure is a firstborn. But the other one could have been born after the Nekeva, and so once again, there's only one. Now, what about the following? Shtei Nekevus Zachar. He walks in, and he finds that there's two females and one male. Oy, Shnei Zachar Mushtei Nekevus. There's two males and two females. So, Ein Kan L'Kayin Klum, the Kayin doesn't get anything over here, because it's possible, and actually more probable, that the females were born before the males, and therefore, the Kayin doesn't get anything. Now, we go on to another case with Mishnah Dalet. This is really a continuation of the previous Mishnah. Achas Bechra V'Achas Shaloi Bechra. He has two donkeys, one that had given birth before, and one that had not, the older Shnei Zecharim, and both of them give birth to males, Nois and Talaecha L'Kayin. He for sure has to give one Talaecha to the Kayin. That's because for sure one of the males over here is a firstborn. However, Zachor Nekeva, let's say these two donkeys gave birth, one to a male, one to a female, and he doesn't know which one is from which mother, so maybe he has a firstborn male, maybe not. Mafresh Talaecha L'Atzmai, he separates a Talaecha, but he keeps it for himself, like we had in previous Mishnah. There's a Safek, maybe there's a firstborn, so he has to separate a Talaecha, but maybe it's not a firstborn, so he gets to keep that Talaecha for himself. Now, in these Mishnahs, we keep on saying, saying that he has to redeem the firstborn donkey with a tleh. The question is, where does this come from? So that's what the Mishnah clarifies now. Shenemar, the Pasuk tells us clearly, upetach hamar tevdebeseh, and the first opening of the womb of the donkey, that's a literal translation of upetach hamar, it has to be redeemed with a seh. Now, what is a seh? So we've been translating it as a sheep, but really, mina kvasim umina izim is both from sheep and from goats. Seh is really translated as flock, and flock means either sheep or goats, and zachor nekeva could either be male or female, gadol or katon, it could be older or younger, tamim ubalmum, it could be unblemished, or even if it's blemished, it could still be used for pinyan petach hamar. Now, upayda by pa'amim harbe, one could use it many times to be payda. For example, he has a firstborn donkey, so he gives the kayin a sheep for it, then the kayin hands him back the sheep, that was very nice of him, he didn't have to, but let's say he decided to hand him back the sheep, and then the farmer has another firstborn male donkey, he could use that very same sheep. That's because it doesn't attain kedusha at all. And by the same token, nichnas ledir les aser, it has to be put into the pen in order to have meiser taken off of it, because it doesn't have kedusha. So when he does meiser behema, when he counts all of his brand new animals that he had that year, and every 10th one is used as meiser behema, this seh, which was used as petach hamar, has to be part of that. Now, v'meis, let's say the seh died before he was actually able to physically give it to the kayin, nenin bai, one can still benefit from it, and that's because, again, it doesn't have kedusha, so it's just like a regular animal that dies that you can benefit from. Moving on to Mishnah Hay. Ein poydin, one cannot do pidyon petach hamar loy be'egel, not with a calf, v'loy b'chaya, not with a wild animal such as a deer, v'loy b'shchuta, not with a shechted animal, v'loy b'treifa, not with an animal that's considered a treifa, v'loy b'kalayim, not with an animal that's kalayim, meaning its parents were forbidden to be mated with each other. For example, a male goat and a female sheep, so its child, which is considered seh, it's considered from the flock, it's not allowed to be used for the pidyon. And lastly, v'loy b'kay, not with a kay, according to some, it's pronounced kvi, and this is an animal which is a suffix, whether it's a behema or a chaya, if it's a domesticated animal or a non-domesticated animal, so that can't be used. Rabbi Lazar matar b'kalayim. Rabbi Lazar allows petach hamar to be done with this kalayim animal, as in our example that we had given, the father was a goat and the mother was a sheep. Why is that? Because it's still considered a seh, it comes from the flock, va'oyser b'kay, but he asers with the kay b'mneishu safek, because it's a safek. Lastly, let's say nusana l'kayin, the farmer who has this firstborn hamar gave the hamar to the kayin. He didn't give a redemption, he didn't give a set to the kain. He gave the chamar itself to the kain. Ain a kain rishay l'kaimai. The kain is not allowed to keep it and he's not allowed to use it. Achi yafresh set tachtov, until he designates a set in its place. And that's because since the Torah mandates that this firstborn donkey has to be redeemed, that applies whether or not it's by the kain. Just because it was given to the kain doesn't mean it doesn't have to be redeemed. And actually, the kaihanim are suspect that they're not going to redeem the animal because a lot of them tell themselves, hey, the Yisrael gave me this firstborn donkey, so I don't have to redeem it. And as we just said, that's not the halacha. Therefore, the Yisrael actually has to wait there and make sure that the Kayin designates a sheep to be used as the exchange or as the pidyon for the Chamar, and only then the Kayin is allowed to use it. And we're discussing pidyon petach Chamar, which, as we know already, is when we have a firstborn male donkey. We have to be paid it, we have to redeem it with a sheep, and the sheep is given to the Kayin. So you're able to troubleshooting. Hamafresh pidyon petach Chamar, vames. He separated the pidyon petach Chamar, he designated a sheep that's supposed to be used for the pidyon, but before he gave it over to the Kayin, it died. What's done? So Blazer and Blazer says, he's responsible for it, like the five slime of a son. We're going to learn about this later on in the Masechta, that when we have a firstborn male child, we have to do a pidyon haben, we have to redeem him from the kain with five slime. And just like over there, if let's say in the process of the father handing over the five slime to the kain, he gets knocked over and the money gets lost, he has to come up with another five slime because it didn't actually reach the kain. It's the same thing over here with the pidyon petach hamar. The sen never got to the kain, he has to provide a new one. Whereas the chamar and the chamar say, in chayav b'chayusay, he's not responsible for it. Pidyon Meiser Sheni, it's like redeeming Meiser Sheni. When a person is Meiser Sheni, which we know has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, if a person is not able to bring it up, or by the time he brings it up, it's going to get all moldy and rotten, so he could be paided, he could redeem it onto money. If that money gets lost, he doesn't have to replace it with new money. Now, Hid Rabbi Shua of Reb Tzadik, Rabbi Shua and Reb Tzadik give edus, they give testimony about a Messiah they had from their Rebbeim, Al Pidyon Petach Hamar Shemes, regarding Pidyon Petach Hamar if it died, She'ein Kan L'Kayin Klom, the Kayin doesn't get anything. You have another Machlaikes, which is just a continuation of this whole discussion. Meis Petach Hamar, let's say the donkey itself died before the sheep that was designated for the pidyon was given over. So Rebbe Lezer says, Yikaver, just bury the donkey, umotrban asa shel tleh. And the owner of the donkey is allowed to benefit from the tleh. He does not have to give it over to the kayin, because just like Rebbe Lezer said before, that if the sheep died before it was given to the kayin, the owner has to provide a new one. That means that for all intents and purposes, it's considered the owner's, it's not the kayin's. So too, if the petach hamar died, the firstborn donkey died before the sheep was given over, that sheep could be kept by the owner, and he doesn't have to give give it to the kohen because it's not the kohen's. Whereas Mechamer and Mechamer say that no, ain't it tzarich likaver? It doesn't have to be buried because it's considered redeemed, so it's perfectly mutter to use, and he's allowed to feed it to his dogs or whatever it is. Vatalela kohen, but that sheep does have to be given to the kohen. Moving on to Mishnah Zayin, what about the following? Loi ratzel if daisai, fell does not want to redeem his firstborn donkey for whatever reason. He doesn't want to give up a sheep, or maybe he doesn't have a sheep, or he doesn't have the money. He doesn't want to give it to the kohen. Bottom line is he doesn't want to redeem the petach hamar. What does he do? Arfai bekayfetz me'achrav. He chops it on the back of the neck with an axe, the kaver, and then he has to bury it because aser banoi, he can't benefit from it. However, mitzvah pediyah kaidemus l'mitzvah sarifa, the mitzvah of redeeming it with a sheep, that comes before the mitzvah of chopping in the back of the neck. If a person comes to his rav and he says, Rabbi, I want to do the most lechatchila thing possible, should I chop it on the back of the neck with an axe or should I be paid it with a sheep? So he'd be told, you should be paid it. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, v'im loy sifde va'araftoi, and if he doesn't redeem it, so he chops it on the back of the neck, which means redeeming it is lechatchila, that's the first thing he should do. If he doesn't do that for whatever reason, so then it gets chopped on the back of the neck. Now, once we have this concept of kadima, of when we have two things that could be done, that one of them precedes the other, pedia before arifa, we have a number of other cases that we find throughout the Torah. Mitzvahs ye'ida kodemus l'mitzvahs pedia, the mitzvah of marrying her comes before the mitzvah of redeeming her. The Torah teaches us about an amaha ivria, a Jewish maidservant. This tells us that a father is allowed to sell his daughter as a Jewish maidservant. She has to be very young, only a certain age. There's a number of different conditions that have to be met, but the bottom line is the Torah tells us that her master should marry her. That's called Ye'ida. And the Torah also says that he should accept pidyon money for her. He should accept redemption money to let her go free. So that's what the Mishnah just told us, is that marrying her actually proceeds and is the more lechatchila to accepting redemption money for her. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Asher lo ya'ada v'hefta. If he didn't marry her, so then he should accept redemption money. Another din of kedima, mitzvah yibum kedemus l'mitzvah chalitza. Yibum comes before chalitza. We know that when you have two brothers, let's say Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven's married to Leah, and then Reuven sadly dies without children, Shimon, the brother, has a mitzvah to marry Leah. That's the mitzvah of yibum, and that's in order to perpetuate his brother's name in this world. When he has children, that's considered in a way that it's his brother's children. However, if he doesn't want to do yibum, he does chalitza, and that severs the bond between them. So Mishnah just told us that yibum, marrying the widow, is more l'chatchila than chalitza. However, Barishain originally, shahayu mischavan l'shem mitzvah, that their whole kavana was they want to do the mitzvah of yibum. So that's great. But v'achshav, now, she'ein mischavan l'shem mitzvah, people don't have kavana for a mitzvah, they either just want to inherit their brother's wealth, or perhaps their brother's wife is good looking, so that's why he wants to marry her, but he doesn't have in mind that he wants to do the mitzvah of yibum. Amru the chachamim said, mitzvah chalitza kedemus l'mitzvah yibum, it's actually preferable to chalitza and not yibum. And that's why nowadays, we never hear of yibum, we only do chalitza. And while as din, it has to do with the person being makdish something that they own, they donate to the Beis HaMikdash, now there is ability to be paid it, to redeem it. So as the Mishnah tells us, mitzvah ge'ula ba'adain, the mitzvah of ge'ula, of redeeming that which was donated to the Beis HaMikdash, that's what the master, the original one who's makdish it, and who kaidim l'chal adam, he comes before everyone else. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'im lo yiga'el v'nim kar barakacha, that if it wasn't redeemed by the original owner, so then it's sold to somebody else for its value. But we see the l'chatchila is that the original owner is the one who redeems it. Now in the second parak, which begins really the main discussion of the Masechta, we're going to be talking about the next part of Bechayrais, which is a firstborn kosher animal. And the general idea is as follows. When we have a female kosher animal that can be brought as a karbon, cow, sheep, or goat, and it gives birth to its first baby. It's the first time that it had a baby. We're going to get into specific discussions what that means the first time, but for all intents and purposes, the first time that it has a child, that child is a male. It is a zachar. It is considered a bechar. It is kadosh meirechem. It automatically has kedusha and has to be given to a kayin, and the kayin brings it as a karbon. He eats some of it and some of it's put on his back. If it's bal mum, if it's blemished, then the kayin gets to keep it for himself and he doesn't bring it as a karbon. There are certain limitations to it though, because it still has kedusha. For example, if it's a cow, he can't work with it. If it's a sheep, he's not allowed to shear it and use its wool. And that's just some of the restrictions. Now, as we had in the previous parak with Petar Chamar, it has to be completely owned by a yid and is not allowed to be partially owned by a guy. The guy can't have any ownership in it because that's not considered the yid's animal. And so that's what we begin parak beis with. The Mishnah tells us, if a person buys the fetus of the cow of a non-Jew, so the non-Jew owns the cow, but the yid tells the non-Jew, I'm buying the fetus, the baby that's inside the mother's stomach. Or if a yid sells that to the guy, even though he's not allowed to, there's an iser for a yid to sell a large animal to a non-Jew. Or if he joins in a partnership an animal with a non-Jew. Or if he gets involved in this deal of kablanus with him, which is basically either the yid or the guy taking the animal and working with it and getting paid for that, and he has a part in the animal. In all these situations, when the firstborn is born, it's pater from bechayrus. Mishnah, because the pasuk says B'Yisrael, with a Yid, and so it means it has to be owned 100% by a Yid, avoloi b'acherim, not with others. Here we have something different than Petar Chamar, Kayhanim Levim Chayavim, a Kayan or a Levi that owns an animal and it gives birth to a firstborn, so they are Chayiv in B'chayra. They don't have to give it to another Kayan, they get to keep it for themselves, but they're still Chayiv in it, it still has Kedusha. And the clarification of that is loy niftru b'chayr behema tahayra, they're not Potter from the b'chayr of a kosher animal, v'loy niftru el m'pinyan ben u'mipetar chamar. They're only Potter for pinyan ben, which we're going to be learning about later on in the Masechta. That's a firstborn male human. When a Yiddish mama gives birth to firstborn boy, Kayin and Levi are Potter in that, and Petar Chamar was in the previous parak, Kayin and Levi are Potter from that as well. But a regular kosher animal, Kayin and Levi are Chayiv in. And move on to parak Beis, Mishnah Beis. And really, Mishnah Beis over here, and tomorrow, Mishnah Gimel, are literally copy-paste from the end of parak Tes of Maseches Chul in the previous Masechta. And the reason why we bring them again is because we bring up Bechar in this discussion. And to understand these two Mishnayos, the general idea is as follows. We know that there's two different levels of Kodshim something could be. It could be Kodshi HaGuf, its body is inherently Kodosh, and that's a very high level of Kedusha. That's reserved for an animal that's designated as a carbon, and has Kedusha HaGuf. And then we have something called Kedusha HaDamim, that its value has Kedusha, but it doesn't have Kedusha HaGuf. Now, one of the big differences between the two is that something that has Kedusha HaGuf, even if it gets a mum, it gets a blemish, and we're going to redeem it, we're going to be paid it, and let's say sell it, and therefore Kedusha is transferred off of it, it still retains some sort of level of Kedusha, and there are certain limitations with it, as opposed to something that has Kedusha's damim, once the Kedusha is transferred off of it, we're paid it because it gets a mum or whatever it is, or it's sold in order to use that money for the Beis HaMikdash, then its Kedusha completely comes off of it and it doesn't retain anything whatsoever, so there's no limitations. The Mishnah tells us, call a kachim shkada mum kavua like deshan, any kachim that they had a mum kavua, they had a permanent blemish before they became kadosh. For example, we have a regular animal, it gets itself a mum kavua, maybe it broke its leg or something like that, it's never going to heal, it's never going to get better, and then a person made it kadosh. So it can't have Kedusha's a guf, it can't be a carbon because it has a mum kavua. That means it's for sure on the lower level of Kedusha's Damim, and then it was redeemed. So number one, Chayavim Bechayra, it's Chayavim Bechayra. So let's say this is a sheep, and it was a female, and then it gave birth to a male, it was its first baby, that has a Din of Bechayra, because this animal, even though it used to be Kadosh, it's not Kadosh anymore, and it has zero Kedusha whatsoever, because again, even when it was Kadosh, it was the lower level of Kedusha, Kedusha's Damim, so now it retains no Kedusha whatsoever, it's already after Pidyon, and it's Chayavim Bechayra. Furthermore, Uv Matanis, it's Chayavim Matanis as well. This was a discussion in Maseches Chulin that we had brought up for. This is when a regular animal shechted, not a carbon, just a regular animal, certain parts of it have to be given to a kayin, that's called matanos, and v'yotzel chulin gazlai aved, it's 100% chulin that it's allowed to be shorn and it's allowed to be worked, uvlad mechavin mutter lachar b'dyaynon, and after it's redeemed, the children are mutter and the milk is mutter, and v'ashechta mechutz pater, even before it's redeemed, if one shechts it outside the Beis HaMikdash, he's pater, it's not considered shchutei chutz, it's not like shechting a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, because it's not a carbon, and v'ein oisin temura, it's not able to accomplish a temura, this is only with a regular carbon, and then he takes a regular animal and says, this is an exchange of that one, both of them are kadosh, this can't do that because it's not a carbon, and v'mesu yipadu, if it dies before pidyon, he could still be paidet, chutz min ha-bechar min ha-meiser, except for bechar and meiser, an animal which is a bechar, even if it's born with a mum, it still has an inherent kedusha to it, and so it does not fall in this category, and same thing with meiser behemo. Obviously, Gimel is a continuation of Beis, it's really the second half, we're talking about animals that have different levels of kedusha, kedusha is a guf and kedusha is damim, something that has kedusha is damim is a lower level of kedusha, kedusha is a guf is a higher level of kedusha, and that's what we're going to be discussing now. Mishnah Gimel tells us, kol shekadosh mekdeshon is mumon. Anything that has din of kedusha came before its mum, meaning he designated it as a carbon, as well as kedusha is a guf, a very high level inherent kedusha, and then it got a mum, it got a blemish, oy mum oiver lekdeshon, or got a mum oiver, which is a passing mum, even before it became kadosh, it's not a problem, it could still become kadosh because it's a passing mum. Ulaachar mikan noilahen mum kavua. Afterwards, it got a permanent blemish, so now it can't be a carbon anymore. Viniftu, and then it was redeemed. So even though it was redeemed, so it's not kadosh anymore, as we had said yesterday, since it started out with a very high level of kedusha, kedusha is a guf, so it still retains a little bit of that kedusha, and therefore patur min ha-bechayra, if this is a female animal and it gives birth to a male, that's the first one, it's pater from bechar, because considered kadosh, an animal which is kadosh doesn't have a din of bechar. Umin ha-matanos also from matanos, if he shechs this animal, it doesn't have to give certain parts to kain, and ve'enu yotzim l'chulin gaz le'avet, it's not 100% chulin, and therefore he's not able to shear it and keep the wool, and he can't work with it either. Uvladan v'chalavan os l'achar b'dyaynon, even after redeeming it, the children and the milk is aser. And before he redeemed it, if he shechted it outside the Beis HaMikdash, he's chayiv for shchutei chutz because it still retains his kedusha of a carbon. And va'oisin temura, it could accomplish a temura because it's considered a carbon to some extent. And v'meisu, if it died before being redeemed, yikaveru, it has to be buried. And now going back to our main discussion regarding an animal that's a bechar, we had said in Mishnah Aleph of this parak that any animal which is even partially owned by a non-Jew or the non-Jew has some sort of rights to it, it's pata from bechara. So if it gives birth to a firstborn male, it doesn't have a din of bechar because because it's not owned exclusively by a Yid. So here we get into a little bit of a detailed case regarding this. Hamakabel Tsoin Barzel Min Anachri, somebody who was Makabel Tsoin Barzel from a non-Jew. Tsoin Barzel means this is basically a business deal that a Yid takes a sheep, for example, from a non-Jew. Tsoin Barzel means its value is locked in right now, that whatever this sheep's value is, that's how much the Yid would owe the non-Jew, no matter what happens. The main point of the deal over here is that the Yid raises the animal, and any children that are born to it are split 50-50. So Vlodeis Paturin, any children that are born, they're potter from Bechaira, because the non-Jew has partial ownership in them. However, Vlodeis, the child of the child, that's going to be Chayvim Bechaira, because the guy doesn't have any rights to that. He has only rights to the children that are born, not children of those children that are born. Now let's say, Hamid Vlodeis Tachsim Oisehen, the children are in place of the mother. In other words, if the way the deal is structured is that if something happens to the mother, or the Yid doesn't pay up for the mother at the end of their deal when he has to give the mother back, the non-Jew can take the child in its stead, then Vlodeis Paturin, then even the children, other children are potter, because that means to some extent that the child is considered the non-Jews, and therefore when that child has a child that's a firstborn, that's also partially considered the non-Jews, so it's potter. However, Vlodeis Chayavin, the children of the child of the child would be Chayav. He says, Afilu Ad Asar Daris Paturin, even up until 10 generations of children born from this original animal are potter from Bechar, Shachris Lenachri, because Achrayas goes to the non-Jew. As we said, the Yid owes the non-Jew money based off the original deal that the mother that's being given over to the Yid to raise is worth a certain amount of money, which the Yid has to give back to the guy, and if that's not paid up in cash or in the original animal or in the next animal in the next generation, the guy can come and take even 10 generations later of animals in order to get paid up for that original one. So that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel says, that all the generations of animals that are born from the original one technically in some way are considered to be owned, at least in part, by the non-Jew, and therefore they're all potter from Bechaira. Mishnah tells us, Rachel Shayaldik Men Eiz, a female sheep that gave birth to something that looked like a goat, or Be'ez Shayaldik Men Rachel, a female goat that gave birth to something that looked like a female sheep. Potter from Bechaira, it's potter from Bechaira, because when the Pasuk is Mashma, that has to be the same min and look like the same min. Now, Vim Yeshua Mitzah Simonim, but if it has some Simonim, it has some signs that it looks like its mother and it's the same min, Chayv it is Chayv and Bechaira. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow's Mishnah Vav, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.